all my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life.
Welcome to Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, live in studio on a frigid Friday. It's sunny outside, so it makes it feel and look warmer than it actually is. But Darren, how are you doing?
Doing good, man, but you are such a wuss, Sterling, when it comes to this
weather. Dog, if I have to wear a scarf, it's cold outside.
I thought you was wearing a scarf because you wanted to look nice.
It's both. It's fancy and useful.
Can't have it both ways now. Nah. You said because it was cold outside.
It is cold outside.
I feel bad. I was driving with the windows down.
What is cold for you, man?
Halle Berry not returning my texts. That's cold. Because I expect my text message to get returned.
That is cold.
Yeah.
I will say.
But I'm doing good, though. I mean, we've got, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is off the injured reserve list. Looks like he's scheduled to play Sunday. Willie Gay is going to play Sunday, so.
And that's what I was actually about to say right there, was Willie Gay Jr. is now expected to play.
But I said that yesterday.
Well, we all assumed he was, but now
no, I didn't
we have confirmation.
Anything.
So you talked to Andy Reid yesterday?
Andy just
about this?
Andy confirmed what my prediction was. I said,
well, sure, we
betting,
all assumed that,
no,
Darren.
No. You assumed I predicted. It's a difference.
It's the same bleep, Darren.
No, it's not.
You're not Andy Reid. The only one who actually knew was Andy Reid and the
what
prosecutors.
Assuming does? You are
makes
not
an ass out of you and just you.
Nah, it ain't me.
So Andy Reid said, I decided he would play. I'm not going to get into the conversations with Gay. I decided that after hearing just some of the information there, that was what determined for Andy Reid that
he heard
Gay was
going to
play.
It was like, bro, what do you want? I either break a vacuum or I break her. Which one do you want?
Preferably neither would be the preferred method. But sure, if you're going to – those two options, the vacuum – either way, Willie Gay Jr. is a go, according to Andy Reid, for Sunday's game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a go, been a full participant the past couple days. How do you think the running back breakdown happens? Do you think it's going to be, okay, Clyde's back, he's going to have first crack, or do you think that Jerick McKinnon is actually going to get the first crack to show what he can do against the Bills?
Because of how Andy and his team operates, I would say that Clyde gets the first crack because he is the starter. And they generally don't let you lose your starting position to injury. And so I think he would get the first crack. I'm not sure what the status of Darrell Williams is, but if that's the case, I guess. Now, look, I think McKinnon's going to get a lot of touches just because – you know, you don't want Clyde to re-injure anything, but you do give Clyde the opportunity to, to play. You give him the opportunity to start. You give him the opportunity to make a contribution. But you're also going to put him on I think you see him more on a snap count than you normally would because he's just coming off an injury. And because his part, it may not be as vital because of what you know you can get from Jerick McKinnon and others.
Yeah, I'm with you. Just based on what we've seen in the past, it feels like Clyde is going to get the first crack, at least the first possession, maybe two drives. But with what Jerick McKinnon has done, they're not going to just all of a sudden cut him out of the game plan. We'll probably see a lot of Clyde on first and second downs. We'll see Jerick on third downs because Jerick McKinnon is the best pass-catching back as well as pass-protecting back on this roster. When it comes to Darrell Williams, I don't expect to see him much. And it's nothing that he necessarily did. It's the fact that his toe injury must be worse than what's getting let on. He was, I want to say, he didn't participate in practices for 2 days, and he might have been a limited participant in one. That doesn't bode well when you have Clyde, who's been participating fully, and then Jerick McKinnon fully, and who also is coming off the best game, one of the best games in his career. Nothing against Darrell Williams, but I'm going with the two healthiest backs and the one that just had a career game.
Well, you're not saying anything out of the ordinary. I mean, I don't see a scenario where he even plays Sunday. I mean, again, think he was in on a couple of drives last week, but
the last one I can remember was actually the one with the fumble with Mecole Hardman.
Yeah, so I don't see a scenario where he's needed, to be quite honest. I mean, because look, you can go with him. Again, you've got McKinnon, you've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you've got Gore. So I mean, I don't say there's no use for him, but I mean, his role in the running game, if he doesn't play, he's not going to be missed. Let me just say it like that.
Yeah, I think where he's missed most might be in short yardage situations, but Clyde, pre-injury, Clyde was doing a lot better job of the physicality that we thought we were going to see, the contact balance. He had those two incredible touchdown runs in, I think, a three-week period.
Yeah.
And then Jerick McKinnon has shown an affinity for drawing and initiating contact. I'm with you. I think they could best use that roster spot elsewhere until Darrell is 100%, because if you are a quote-unquote power back, or if you are the goal line back, if you're not 100% and you can't push off and you can't keep the legs moving because that toe, what purpose is that serving? The best purpose served for me in Darrell's and the Chiefs' best interest is for him to get 100% healthy and then use what he does best if the Chiefs move on to the Super Bowl or AFC Championship.
But also to that point, if it's short yardage, are they really going to hand the ball off to Williams anyway? I mean, because, you know, to them, a short pass is considered a run play for them. So that's something, depending on, you know, what type of short yardage.
We'll see that Tyreek Hill little one-yard out route again. The one that they did with Chad Henne, and the one they did against, was that against the Raiders?
Probably.
Against the Raiders. Not the Raiders, the Broncos, week 18.
Yeah.
When they needed that yard when he was banged up. That's their favorite short yardage play.
Hey,
it's unstoppable.
It works. Yeah, well, let's not let Sunday be the day.
Okay, it hasn't been stopped yet.
Yeah, don't pull a Jim Nance where you say something that happened, and it, of all days, it happens on Sunday.
My favorite part is now announcers. Like, Tony Romo does a good job of this, too. Whenever there's something that a kicker hasn't missed in the fourth quarter, right, they'll bring it up afterwards. They won't say it before the kicker kicks. It's something that I've noticed as announcers have gone on. It's like, well, we don't believe in the jinxing of these guys, but we're still going to just not risk it.
Yeah, better be safe than sorry. Especially if you're a fan of the team.
Do you believe in the announcer jinx?
Yep.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it happen too many times.
You don't think it's a case of, well, it was probably going to happen eventually? It's probably time?
No.
You're giving the announcers a lot of credit here.
Oh, trust me. Look, I believe in the – first of all, I'm a spiritual person. So I believe a lot of things can happen through osmosis. And, I would tell you this. I've seen it many times where I feel like I can use my Jedi mind stuff and have somebody miss a free throw or can sense something is about to happen, and it happens. And no, so I do believe in that.
Derrick Henry expected to start now for the Tennessee
Titans.
That's what happened. Well, but this is getting closer to becoming official. It'll become official. They have until 4 p.m. on Friday. I guess five.
What a game is tomorrow.
Three.
So, yeah.
4 p.m. Eastern time to make the move official.
Sterling, that means it's past time.
Three.
Yeah.
I get that. I had to do some quick math in my head. This is not a math show, Darren. It's a sports show.
That Blue Valley education, boy. I don't know.
Which is great. A guy as bad as math as I am who loves analytics, that can't have any
poor. I will say this, just on a whole different topic before we go back to football. I saw the little high school picture. I think your brother or uncle or somebody posted.
My dad.
Your dad. That. Yeah, man. I'm glad you started eating, because I was getting nervous.
I was 14.
Still, man, you was.
I was 14. I was 5'2", like a buck.
They'd ate you for breakfast in prison, boy.
Well, good thing I wasn't doing anything to get landed in prison.
Me too. I was like, you was going to be shooting buckets to keep them off of you.
And I would be shooting buckets. Oh, my shot was beautiful back then. I had that Steve Nash haircut.
And
I had that Steve Nash 3.
But I saw that. I said, this is my dude. I was like,
All yeah, right. My dad's hazing me on Twitter right now, apparently.
Yeah, he did. I didn't even want to comment because I didn't know what to say. I was like, man, hey, this dude going to be fresh meat in the pen. He come in with a jersey on. They're going to go, oh, look at this dude.
Until they see me ball.
Yeah, then they go, okay, we got him on our squad. Right.
That's always how, when I was in West Philly, that was the whole thing. They're like, hey, we're not picking the white kid. We're not picking him. All of a sudden, I get in. Start hitting some threes, it starts turning to, oh, we want the white kid.
Yeah.
That's what it turned into.
Hey, as long as you never have to worry about not getting picked ever again, you were good.
Yeah, see? Come on now. Man, but I was about 5'2", 100 pounds. I was
exactly.
14.
Soaking wet.
I was freshman year of high school.
Yeah, you were soaking wet.
The fact they made a team at all at that height and size is pretty impressive.
Very much so, man.
All right. Well, Derrick Henry... about the opposite of me when I was 14 years old. He's a big
Facts.
Dude. He's going to start, is what it looks like, from Mike Vrabel. His snap count, his numbers will be in the air. They're going to kind of take a wait and see as the game progresses. What do you think they'll see from Derrick Henry? Because Dante Foreman's done a very fine job. Even before Henry went down, we did see guys like Dontrell Hilliard on third down. We saw McKinnell's before then, Jeremy McNichols, I'm sorry, McNichols on third down. What do you think the snap count, snap share will look like?
Oh, he's going to get a heavy share. He's going to get a heavy dose because, again, as much as you don't really have respect for the run game, they're going to have to run the football to keep Jamar chasing them because they've shown how explosive that offense is. They don't need much. And you know Burrow's is going to go after him. I mean, you know he's going to go – to Jamar Chase as early and as often as possible. So I think when we look at this matchup, I think Henry's getting anywhere between 20 and 25 carries.
Mm. I wonder what the over-under is on the site.
I think it's 47, I thought.
No. The carries that Derrick Henry is going to get.
Yeah, that's I don't know.
Because I feel like maybe around 14 to 16 seems to be the sweet spot of where I would assume Derrick Henry would get. I think that Derrick Henry starts the game. I think Henry gets the first series, maybe two. I think there might be a lull, and then they'll bring him back for late game situations as long as the game is close. That's what I feel like I would do if he is not 100%. If he's 100%, let him go. If he's 100%, he is your guy every down, at least first and second down.
I mean, he's been out for almost 2.5-3 months, so I don't see why he wouldn't be.
They said season ending, but you know how many times they've said that. J.J. Watt's returned from two season-ending injuries in his career.
Yeah.
I don't know. It all comes down to, I guess, how healthy and how effective he is. If he's out there and he's limping.
Well, not only that. I mean, you got to remember, I mean, it's going to depend on the flow of the game. I mean, if Cincinnati gets out and they're up, by 10 or more points, that's essentially going to take the running game out. You're going to take Derrick Henry. I mean, that's the idea. That's what you want to do if you're Cincinnati. You want to take the running game. You don't want it to rely on Derrick Henry. You want it to be Joe Burrow versus Ryan Tannehill. That's the matchup that you like, because if it comes down to that, Cincinnati's already winning the ballgame.
I'm with you.
So,
and we'll get more in depth in the second segment as we go through our slate and pick of games. But Randall Cobb, now off of the IR, set to rejoin the Packers as they face the 49ers. Do you think Randall Cobb will have any impact in this game? I know he hasn't had a ton of impact this year as a whole. He did have a game or two where he really did step up. I know Aaron Rodgers was like his main request was, give me Randall Cobb. I don't care who you bring. I need Randall Cobb or else I'm not going to play for the Packers this year. They brought Randall Cobb back. Looks like he'll be active in the playoff game. Do you think he has an impact?
No. I mean, I think he'll make some plays, but I don't think. I mean, it's going to come down to Davante Adams and maybe Lazard and Aaron Rodgers. I just don't. No. I'm just going to leave it at that. Nope.
I think Cobb will have an impact if Marquez Valdes-Scantling is out. Right now, Valdes-Scantling is doubtful with a back injury that was suffered against the Detroit Lions in that Week 18 matchup. It's still weird saying Week 18, isn't it?
Yeah.
It still takes some used to. It's like the Las Vegas Raiders. It's still weird to say and get used to. But if Scantling is out, then I think you could see some Randall Cobb, especially on third down. That's when he's pretty much gotten all of his receptions this year to begin with, has been on third down. Rodgers has some of that previous trust. Obviously, Adams is his number one. That trust, that relationship is unlike any other in the NFL. But when he gets doubled, where else is he going to look to? I think he'll look towards Randall Cobb, especially with no Scantling. I think Lazard's a very good player. I think Lazard will have himself a fine game as well. Just when it comes to third down, I'm not saying Randall Cobb's going to go out for 8 catches for 100 yards.
Oh, no.
But if he gets 4 catches for 40, I think that can constitutes a show-up.
Yeah, I mean, 4 catches, 40 yards. I mean, it depends on where it's coming at during the ball game. Because, I mean, you can get 4 catches, 40 yards on opening drive, and if it doesn't lead to, points, then just 4 catches for 40 yards. So it would have to be – it would be in the manner in which they came, you know, in with during the game. So, again, I think he contributes, but I don't think he's going to play a vital role. I think it's still going to come down, as always, to Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams making a big play, maybe Lazard, Jones, or Dillon, the running back. So, yeah.
David Bakhtiari is also questionable in this game. He returned for the first time in over a year since tearing his ACL. He returned, played 27 snaps against the Detroit Lions, but he's only practiced once this week, and that was the middle of the 3-day practice session for the Green Bay Packers. So if Bakhtiari is not ready to go, they'll have to turn to someone else. They've been able to fill his role, but no one is like David Bakhtiari. He is just an incredible left tackle. He was one of the best, if not the second best, because I think Trent Williams is pretty much safe to say he's the best left tackle in football.
Well, there might be people. Well, when he was healthy, Tyron Smith, Dallas.
Sure, but Bakhtiari's top three, without a doubt, when healthy, but it's not promising.
Orlando Brown trying to get in that conversation now.
He ain't top three.
I know. He's about to get paid like he is, though.
He's about to get paid like he is, but he ain't top three. And I like Orlando Brown Jr. This is not a slight against Orlando Brown Jr., because Brown has the potential to get there. These guys are just, they are already there. But that is also something to keep in mind, because if not, if Bakhtiari's out and, say, Bosa is playing, could be a little bit of an advantage for the 49ers when it comes to that matchup.
Yeah, but one thing you got to remember, they got Aaron Rodgers, they got Jimmy G. And this is a different – man, I did want to hurry up and get to commercial so we can pick these games, but this is probably the best weekend in football, because you're really getting the top eight, perhaps the most likely the top eight teams in the NFL going at it with each other this weekend. And really, there's nothing more that you can decipher from that.
No, I'm with you. We'll take a quick break. We will come back because, Darren, I'm with you. I'm going to take a look at all 4 of these games, pick winners, and what we think is going to play out. Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City.
Hi, Ollie Gates here. The Gates family would like to say thank you for allowing us to serve you for 75 years, a milestone which would not have been possible without your support. Thanks again, and remember, whatever the case may be, keep the faith.
Back to Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Before we get to the games, I forgot to mention something. Rashad Fenton did not practice today for the Kansas City Chiefs. Darren, are you nervous that, 1, Rashad Fenton does not play Sunday, and 2, if he does not play, are you nervous about the absence that would mean?
No and no. No, I mean, at the end of the day, I've taken this little notion that I got from you. We got Patrick Mahomes and they don't. That's all I can do. I mean, that's all I got to roll with. That's all I got to ride with, man. We got Patrick Mahomes and they don't. I don't care if they got Josh Allen. I got Patrick Mahomes.
I am a little bit nervous that he won't play because it's a back injury, and the back injury in the cold does not sound like something that go together. And next two, man up. I agree, but the next man up means it's going to be a lot of Mike Hughes.
Yeah, but
and
you know,
DeAndre
though,
Baker.
But if you remember though, Rashad Fenton was getting flagged for a lot of penalties. You know, them last three games he was getting flagged.
Sure.
So I mean,
he's I trust Fenton more than Baker and Mike Hughes. I think this means we're going to see a lot more Mike Hughes.
I'm fine with that. I mean, yeah. Mike has some good. I mean, don't forget Mike sealed the deal in week one against the Cleveland Browns. He had a big interception late in the ball game. I forgot which team it was because he came in all iced out in the press room. So, I mean, he's had some good games. I'm fine with this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I am a little bit nervous about that. But first, we'll go to the first game on the docket on Saturday at 3:30. Bengals travel to Tennessee, take on the Titans. Like we just said in the first segment, Derrick Henry is expected to start in this game. How do you think it shakes out?
I honestly believe, and it's got nothing to do with my bets, but I am following that lineup. I could see Tennessee winning, but I really think Cincinnati jumps out to a lead. Again, all of it could be a matter of who gets the ball first. You know, if Tennessee actually elects to keep it and they decide they want to impose their will on them, that's fine. But as you mentioned yesterday, Cincinnati's best defensive lineman or player is going to play in the game on Saturday. So I like Cincinnati. I just think that Cincinnati, they don't know what they don't know. This is not, again, this is not Andy Dalton's, Marvin Lewis's Cincinnati Bengals. This is a whole new era of the Cincinnati Bengals, and I like their swag. I like, you know, look, I was already believers of them, of course, you know, prior to them beating Kansas City. I was skeptical because I'm like, you know, I don't know which team is going to show up. But if that team that shows up last week and showed up the week before, you know, a couple weeks earlier when they beat Kansas City, I like them against the Titans. And granted, you know, if they were to beat the Titans, it would help Kansas City if they were to win tonight after travel.
What's your final score?
I've got it Cincinnati 31. I've got Tennessee Titans 21. I got them winning by 10.
Mm. So I have Cincy winning too.
Which means they hit the over, and of course they hit the point spread because they're plus 3.
Oh, yeah. That's easy for Cincy hitting the point spread. I have Cincy winning straight out, man. I think that their offense right now is better. Everyone keeps talking about Derrick Henry. Sure, he's fresh for not playing in that long, but have you ever played a sport, taking a couple of months, right? Couple of months off, and then trying to get back into it. Your legs, your stamina, you feel off.
No, but that's just like working out. You're right.
And so, even with Derrick Henry back, and I understand what he means, I don't think he's going to have – and I could 100% be wrong. I've been wrong before. I'm going to be wrong again. I don't think Derrick Henry has this massive impact. I think he's used almost more as a decoy. It's like I said, the first play of the game, at least when Tennessee has the ball, it's going to be a play-action pass. They're going to use him as a decoy. But I don't trust Ryan Tannehill. I don't know if he's declined, and I've said it before. I don't know if the rest of the NFL has figured out what he has done, but I am trusting Joe Burrow more than I'm trusting Ryan Tannehill.
Well, that's kind of surprising. As much as you love Ryan Tannehill,
I did.
You said, "Oh, he's the reason why Tennessee is this and that."
He was two seasons before this year.
No, he wasn't.
Ryan
was Derrick Henry,
and I will say.
Derrick Henry.
Ryan Tannehill struggled this year because A.J. Brown and Julio Jones have been hurt almost the entire season. Julio Jones didn't catch a touchdown pass until week 18. We know about Derrick Henry.
That's not my fault.
I'm talking about the actual passing game. Hmm. It's not your fault, but it's a reason why Tannehill has probably struggled this year.
And the other reason I think, you know, Cincinnati, they're even when it comes to takeaway giveaways. Tennessee Titans, they give the ball away more than they take it away. So I could also see it being a scenario where turnovers come into play. But again, do you really have an answer for Ja'Marr Chase? If you don't, it's going to be a long day in Nashville.
Tennessee will have to put a lot of pressure on Joe Burrow, and it's definitely possible because Tennessee's front seven is very solid. Cincinnati Bengals' offensive line is not that good. But if they don't put pressure, Joe Burrow is going to pick apart what is a weak back four, a weak secondary of the Titans. That's probably the way this game goes. If the Titans do not get pressure, I'm with you. It'll be 31-21, but I think they get enough pressure, but not enough to win. I'm going Bengals 27. I'm Tennessee. Let's go 23. 27-23 Bengals.
Okay, that's still over. Okay, I like this.
Is that still over? What's the over-under?
47.
See, I got you, Darren. We're on the same page. We both have them, obviously, covering the spread. We have Cincinnati winning, and we have the over.
I like that.
You throwing something down?
Yeah, I've already made my stuff. I went over yesterday.
I know.
I haven't made any more bets.
It's slightly surprising.
Nah.
Slightly. What about the player parlays?
I haven't done anything on that. If I add some money, I'll do it tomorrow. But I highly doubt I do play. I'll probably just go off of and see what happens with the games themselves.
We'll go next game. The 49ers travel to Green Bay, bring on the Packers. This is a now 5.5-point spread. Was 6, now 5.5. Over-under is 47. Nick Bosa is questionable for Green Bay. Scantling is doubtful. Bakhtiari, like we said, is questionable. And Za'Darius Smith, who's on the IR, has a chance, an outside chance, of playing in this game. Za'Darius Smith is an incredible linebacker for Green Bay, but he's missed a lot of time. How does this one play out for you?
I think Green Bay wins this easily. Again, I can see a scenario where if you can get after Aaron Rodgers with the front four and get to him and frustrate him and knock him around, then San Francisco has a chance. They also have a good chance if they can control the clock by running the football and just taking the ball out of Jimmy Garoppolo's hands and putting it in Deebo Samuel's or someone else's hands. But I think, you know, generally first round of playoffs for the Packers, it's just hard for me to see Aaron Rodgers losing this particular game at home against the Niners. So I've got them winning 34-20.
I like it. Yeah, I
have just over, and of course it gives Green Bay the points as well.
I have a little bit lower scoring than that. I have Green Bay winning. I have them covering the 5.5. I have them covering the 6.5. I think it's 27-20 Green Bay, which
I thought
right
about
the
that score, but I think, you know, I think Rodgers gets 4 touchdown passes, and I think they kick 2 field goals. I just think it's a lot of scoring in the game, but they're, you know, yeah.
The reason why, and typically this favors the run, it's going to be extremely cold in Green Bay. It's going to be a low of 7 degrees. Snow's not expected, but a low of 7. It's going to be frigid.
Yeah, they're going to have a negative wind chill of 9, I think.
100%. And typically that favors the running game, and that favors what they've done with Deebo Samuel, a.k.a. get him the ball in space, use him any way you can. And Elijah Mitchell's been a very solid running back ever since he's been healthy this year, the rookie running back, 6th rounder. He's physical, but I don't trust Jimmy G, and especially being banged up with his shoulder and his hand, and when it's going to be below 0 wind chill, that hand is going to feel miserable. That hand is going to be very difficult to even grip the ball. So as much as I think that in the traditional sense, you like to think the cold favors the best running team, that could play a part, but Jimmy G is going to struggle mightily, in my opinion. I could easily see multiple interceptions when he has to get dropped back and throw, because you expect Green Bay to not put up points because they're going to score. You're not going to keep them off the board. I think Jimmy G is the hindrance in this game.
So are we giving the 49ers too many points then?
I gave him 20.
Yeah, but I mean, what you're talking about, Jimmy Garoppolo shouldn't be doing anything but handing the ball off.
100%. That's a tutty for Elijah Mitchell. That's a tutty for Deebo Samuel, and that's 2 field goals.
Okay. I mean, that's
4 touchdowns for Green Bay, and a missed extra point because Mason Crosby.
Man. Yeah. And look, and the other thing is, because it's Jimmy Garoppolo, I think the Packers, they were close to the top of the NFL when it comes to takeaways. And so they're plus 13. So I could see a scenario where this defense, you know, puts 49ers in a position to where they can get some turnovers off of Garoppolo. So, yeah, I can see that.
And it's not that I think that the 49ers are a bad team. They're not. I think the 49ers are a very, very good team. They're just stuck with what I, in my mind, is the worst of the quarterbacks left in the playoffs.
Yeah, but Kyle Shanahan is also 3-1 against the Packers. So.
And the Packers are 8-0 at home today, or at home this year. There's always going to be a stat you can look at that probably gives your, or at least a side, the nod. But Green Bay at home in the playoffs, to me, feels like the one that takes the cake. I'm going to go and trust with Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. I just can't trust Jimmy G, especially being banged up and especially being this cold. It just feels foolish to do. Now watch as he goes out and has a career game.
That's all right. But I guess I should ask this before we go further. Is there a chance that we see Trey Lance in there?
If they get
and
down,
if so, do we see him early and often?
No. If we see Trey Lance, it will be late. If we see Trey Lance, it's because they got down by 17, and it's the halfway through the third, and Shanahan goes, bleep it. We need someone who can at least throw the ball past 30 yards.
True. But I mean, I wouldn't even say – I'd say first half, because if Jimmy Garoppolo can't throw you the ball – and if you do have Trey Lance that's healthy, he at least gives you a dual threat option where he can possibly run the ball and where he can run the ball and throw the football. Unless you don't trust Trey. Now, if I remember correctly, he went to a D2 school that was pretty.
He went to North Dakota State.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure he played in the snow. Pretty sure they got snow up in North Dakota. So, I figured he should be able to play in that type of weather.
Trey Lance, by the way, was the quarterback. I said I have the, North Dakota State. The highest hopes for of any of the rookie quarterbacks. I think Trey Lance is what the new prototypical NFL quarterback is going to look like. Big, strong guy, good legs, extremely strong arm. Might not be the most accurate, especially underneath, but someone who can go out and make big plays. I don't know if Trey Lance is that guy yet, right? We don't know. And as much as we like to rip on Jimmy G, trust me, I've ripped on Garoppolo a lot. He has gone to a Super Bowl. He's gotten his team past the Dallas Cowboys, although you can always say that was in spite of Garoppolo, not because of Garoppolo. But he's at least shown a history of some success. Are we being too harsh on a guy who's at least been to a Super Bowl?
No, we're not. I mean, because he still hasn't shown that he really deserves to be a starter in the NFL. I mean, he's probably no more deserving of a starting role than maybe Jacoby Brissett was. I mean, they were both backup quarterbacks to Tom Brady. I mean, Jacoby played serviceable during this time in Indianapolis. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, you could say he led a team to Super Bowl, but I mean, was he more like the Trent Dilfer and the defense did? You know, the defense and everybody else played a role in carrying him to a Super Bowl. He just happened to be the figurehead quarterback. That's how he's looked at right now.
I think he's better than Brissett, but I think for me, the guy he really emulates, and no one talks about it, Jared Goff. How much different is he than Jared Goff? Jared Goff rode a phenomenal all-around Rams team.
Yeah,
Jared Goff was really good that one year.
I was going to say, I mean,
that
yeah,
one year
yeah,
Goff was good.
Yeah, but that's not fair because Goff was actually good that year versus Jimmy Garoppolo.
Until the Super Bowl came around. Then Goff decided to turn into the version that he is.
No. Technically, just both teams' defense showed up. That's all that was. It was more of a defensive battle. And what happened was, I think Brady caught a break with Gronkowski on one drive late in the ball game that ended up being the game winner. But hell, to be honest, it was just a good defensive battle. I mean, both teams' defense came to play. I mean, you know, the other teams do get paid. The other side of football, you know, they do get paid as well, Sterling. So, I mean, just because we didn't see a 41-38 type or 41-30, whatever that game was, that Brady lost to Philadelphia, just because we didn't see an offensive explosion where no defense was being played, then, you know, I mean, that's not taking nothing away from what the other team does. I'm just saying, you know, L.A., they had a good defense with Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. Belichick had a better defense that day.
I also can't wait, like, 30 years from now, when people look back at Super Bowls and who the quarterbacks were, and they see Nick Foles over Tom Brady. That's going to be one of the most incredible trivia questions, I think so, in like 30 years. Who beat Tom Brady by putting up 41 points? And it's going to be a backup quarterback who bounced around the NFL almost his entirety of his career, played for the Jags, played for the Bears, the Eagles a couple times, the Chiefs. Yeah. I think it's going to be a funny trivia question in about 30 years.
How could Brady and an undefeated Patriots team lose to a quarterback who should have been a backup who led the league in interceptions three times?
Oh, Eli Manning?
See, there you go. See?
Twice.
Three times. Well, yeah, he lost to
him twice in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Man.
But trust me, Eli doesn't get the credit. It was more what the defense did.
And
defense pressure, Tom Brady. And look, that was a good defensive game as well because, hell, Belichick.
David Tyree.
But Belichick held him to 10 points for a long time before, you know, they gave up that last touchdown. And that was a Hail Mary.
And also David Tyree, the helmet
catch.
I know. Yeah. But I will say that commercial with J.B. Smoove and Eli Manning and Peyton cracks me up. When they're just going back and forth, basically talking about accomplishments. And, well, he had the helmet catch. And then Peyton Manning goes, well, I would have hit him in the numbers.
Right. Yeah.
That always makes me laugh. That is just such a good line.
I think J.B. Smoove probably wrote that, too.
I love J.B. Smoove.
Yeah.
Him and Pootie Tang. Did you ever see that movie?
Of course.
Pootie Tang's a good movie.
Yeah. Homie time with
Zadate.
Yeah, exactly. I literally just think about that. I might have to watch that on my Fire Stick sometime this week.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Because I was watching Undercover Brother a couple nights ago. Yeah, so. Yeah.
That's a really good movie. Rams, Buccaneers, L.A., traveling to Tampa Bay. They're on a quote-unquote short week because they played on Monday night. Now they're playing on Sunday afternoon. They're traveling across the country, but at least they're not going to New England or Buffalo. They're going to someplace warm still,
well,
and that is Tampa.
At least they're not going home. At least they got a game to play.
Sure. But I do think, to an extent, an L.A. team going to another warm climate, that probably helps a little bit more than going up to a New England, a Buffalo, a Green Bay, a Minnesota, a place where it's known to be cold.
Yeah, so in this game, this is the one pick I don't feel comfortable about, and I think it's more so because Wurst is probably not going to be playing the Sunday's game. And so Brady's going to really have to get the ball out. But if there's anybody who can be the GOAT, who can rise above it all, it's Tom Brady. I do have the Bucs winning this game. It's a tough one, though, because everything is pointing towards the Los Angeles Rams right now, offense, defense, even special teams. But at the end of the day, if I got to go pound for pound, dollar for dollar, I got to roll with Tom Brady.
I'm going with the Rams, and I'm with you to the whole Tom Brady situation. It always feels weird and wrong to bet against Tom Brady because of what he has done. Historically, if you bet against Tom Brady, you're going to lose money. The reason why I like the Rams is they're healthier. Even though they're going to be without Andrew Whitworth, even though they're going to be without Taylor Rapp, their safety, they're less banged up than the Bucs. The Bucs' offensive line is going to be banged up, especially without Tristan Wirfs. If they're going to be without basically all of their wide receivers that are worth a lot outside of Mike Evans, because AB's gone, Chris Godwin, you're going to have – and just after what I watched last game against the Eagles, those backup wide receivers were dropping balls. They were not on the same page as Tom Brady. Brady would look like he was just trying to throw the ball here, yet this wide receiver was not running through the route. They have good tight ends, and they have some running backs, but if you're going to have to get other wide receivers involved, I don't know if Brady trusts them I think the Eagles were just really bad, and the Rams are much more talented defensively. You don't have time to not trust your second and third options. When you have Aaron Donald, Floyd, and Von Miller coming up, when you have Jalen Ramsey blanketing Mike Evans on the other side, just from a matchup perspective, I like the Rams.
I think this is more of a Rob Gronkowski type of ball game where Brady will get him for 7 to 9 catches, 123 yards, 2 touchdowns. I just – because in games like moments like this, he's going to go to Old Faithful. He'll find a way to get the ball to Mike Evans because he'll put him in a position where only he can catch the ball and where perhaps Jalen Ramsey will get a penalty called against him. But, I mean, everything you said is good. Look, man, I mean, this is literally why they brought this team in and put this team together in the manner in which it's constructed. You got Aaron Donald, you got Von Miller, Floyd, you got OBJ, you got Jalen Ramsey, you got Cooper. I mean, they've got all the names. They've got the players. They just have – if they play the way that they played against Arizona last week, if they can do that tomorrow – I'm sorry, if they can do that Sunday, then, yes, they have a very good chance of knocking off Tom Brady. I won't deny that. I won't take it away at all.
I have it as 26-24. So that's right around the over-under, just barely grazing the over. I have the Rams winning 26-24, so that's the cover.
I've got it 31-28. I could see a 31-30 type ball game, but and the other thing is Brady remembers what happened in L.A. Sean McVay running up and down the sidelines, smacking people's butts and stuff because DeSean Jackson caught that 75-yard touchdown pass and they were blowing him out. He ain't forgot about that. Trust and believe, if he can blow him out, that's exactly what he's going to do.
I believe it. Yeah. And Bruce Arians and Tom Brady, they have that petty in them. They have that. They don't forget anything.
That's what I love, man.
Ooh. This is going to be one of the – Sunday's slate of games to me feels like the varsity games,
Sunday's slate of games feel like the AFC-NFC championship games.
It really does. And that's nothing against the Saturday games. Those are great games, should be great games between good teams.
Trust me, I will be definitely paying attention to that first game. My travel arrangements dictate I do so.
Well, Darren, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and then we'll talk about the Bills, Chiefs. Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City.
Stomp your feet and clap your hands with me. It's a celebration. Yeah, stomp, stomp, clap, clap, stomp, stomp, clap. You got it. Tech 9, let's go.
KCMO,
welcome back to Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Let's go, baby. Chiefs, Bills.
Well, first of all, before we go further, next time you're going to come with some Chiefs stuff, make sure you play Nelly since he's going to be performing at halftime on Sunday.
Nelly's from St. Louis. Good, sir.
That's okay.
Tech 9
is still performing
KC
this weekend, though.
I like Nelly a lot. Nothing against Nelly and the Band-Aid.
Fooling around, I might have him on my pregame show.
That'd be pretty cool.
It would be.
Is it hot in here? Are you going to get him to shake his tail feather?
EI. How about that one?
Man.
That's funny.
I'm excited. This is going to be an incredible game. I do want to preface this by saying, even if the Chiefs lose, God forbid the Chiefs lose this game, we all need to take a step back, and instead of being so angry, we need to say we are living in the golden age of Kansas City Chiefs football. What the Chiefs have done ever since Patrick Mahomes took over as the starter has been absolutely incredible, and this has not happened for every single team. Trust me, look at the Green Bay Packers, who thought that they were going to win 20 Super Bowls, 10 Super Bowls with Aaron Rodgers, and they've won one. So, with that preface in mind, what are you doing here, Darren?
Well, I mean, first of all, you did all that to say nothing, because if the Chiefs lose, it's a matter of how they lose. If they lose like they lost in Week 5, yeah, people have a right to be upset. If they lose how they lost to Cincinnati, people have a right to get upset. So it depends on how they lose. Don't tell me, oh, don't freak out. Nah. No, they lose. I'm going to be pissed.
Big picture, Darren. Big picture.
Big picture, Chiefs win. Chiefs win. They win 38-31.
I have Chiefs winning, and you're not going to be happy.
It's the under.
It is the under by one. 27-26, which also means the Bills cover. I think it's 27-26. I think these two teams are extremely even at this moment. I think that the Bills are playing their best football after that drubbing they just put on the Patriots. I think the Chiefs are playing some of their best football. I'm not going to say their best football because we've seen them play better, but the Chiefs are playing some incredibly good football right now. I know everyone's expecting these offensive explosions, but I just feel like we're overlooking two defenses that have been very good. The DVOA and EPA for the Bills defensively has been number one in the NFL. Their biggest drawback is they played the 30th hardest strength of schedule. So you can say, yeah, their defense has been incredible, but who have they played? That's a fair point, but you can only play who's in front of you. While the Chiefs, I think their defense sometimes gets a bad rap, and I think this could be a game where they really step up.
No, I mean, I don't disagree with that, but, I mean, I'm still trying to – I just don't see a one-point game. If it's a one-point game, I'm not liking it for Kansas City's favorite because it shouldn't be that close. I mean, I think Kansas City wins. I think they cover, but for it to be 1 point, a lot of things would have to be going right for Buffalo and wrong for Kansas City. So, look, man, I just hope they win. I don't even care if they win 2-0. Just win.
Just get that safety and get out.
Just do it, man. And you know, whether or not you get a chance to host it, or I have to travel to Nashville next week, I'm still not really feeling that. But you know, the things I do for the people, that's what I do. I think Kansas City, what's going to be important is Patrick Mahomes comes out with whatever the first 15 scripted plays are at, you know, let's see whether or not the defense, they can get a defensive stand, you know, first drive out, make them punt the football. If nothing else, make them settle for a field goal. They can do that, Kansas City, and if Kansas City can get off and get a touchdown on their opening drive, I like the way things will look for Kansas City. Look, you got to remember, if I remember correctly, I think Buffalo jumped out to an early lead against Kansas City last year, but Kansas City ended up running away with the game. I mean, it was a little bit closer towards the end what the final score was. But yeah, I just – because they know what's at stake, a trip to the AFC Championship game, they'll know what happens Saturday. They'll know whether or not if you win – you go on the road, or if you win, you play at Arrowhead. And so there is safety in playing at home. I think that the crowd would be a huge factor in the game, and they won't allow a scenario, the crowd. I think the crowd will be every time Josh Allen touches the ball, I think the Chiefs are going to be trying to blow his ears out.
And what's crazy is just a couple of years ago, it looked like Josh Allen dropped acid and then played in an NFL playoff game, while against the Patriots, he was perfect. 7 drives, 7 touchdowns. I wonder if
Spags... But that also helped because they were playing at home.
Sure, and that's a good point, and that's what I was going to say is, I wonder if Spags and the home field advantage for Kansas City can ruffle Josh Allen's feathers, because we saw just a couple of seasons ago... he was not calm, cool, collected. He looked like he was on drugs. I mean, literally, you couldn't explain some of the things that he was doing. The moment was way too big for him. He said one of the hardest plays he's ever played was last year, the AFC Championship game, when there were 10,000 fans in Arrowhead.
About 17, 22, but yeah.
Well, whatever it was. Now there's going to be 76, 79, whatever it is.
There's going to be a lot of people there.
If you thought last year was loud and difficult to play in, get ready for the playoffs when a Guinness World Record could be getting set.
I'm just hoping, not only for a good game, but I'm hoping that, depending on how the ball bounces, that, you know, both teams give it their all, especially the Chiefs. You know, I don't want it to be a scenario where the defense becomes a verb, where they get Sorensen. You don't want that, so...
That's a really good point, Darren. When you become a verb, not a good sign.
Not a good sign at all.
You do not want to get Sorensen'd.
And look, before we get out of here, I do want programming note. I'll be doing a show midnight tomorrow night, going into Sunday, The Ship with Darren Smith. And also, you can watch me at from 7 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. on Fox 4. Once again, I'll be back on doing the KC Chiefs kickoff with them, with Rob Collins as well. So I'll be on Sunday for an hour and a half early in the morning.
So check Darren out. For Darren, I am Sterling Holmes. We are out of here. But first, go Chiefs.